All right, each of our principles has a picture that goes along with it to help us remember what that principle is. So our principle for this session is staying on the line. And that line represents the line of Scripture. So the principle as stated, which is also in your notebooks, it says we must stay on the line of Scripture, never straying above it, and never straying below it. So we all, as Bible teachers, have a tendency to look at Scripture and perhaps add some of our own ideas or some of our own rules to what's there. Or we might dip below the line because we don't want to talk about some things that are in the passage. Like, did anybody get Titus 2, 1 to 10 and not know what to do with submission and working at home? And I'm just not going to think about those things, right? We're tempted to do that. We're tempted to dip below the line of Scripture and not talk about things. But we want to say what God's Word says. We want to stay on the line of Scripture, never strain above it or below it. So let me show you an example of this in Scripture. I hope you all have your Bibles handy. So grab them. If you didn't bring one, we've given you one that you could use. Turn to 2 Timothy. So we're going to be in the epistles all weekend long. So come back to another workshop if you want to work in another genre. But we're going to look at 2 Timothy to just see this demonstrated in Scripture. So as you probably know, the letter of 2 Timothy is written by the Apostle Paul, written to a pastor, Bible teacher named Timothy. And if we look at 2 Timothy 2, let's look at 2 Timothy 2, verses 15 to 18. Can I have a volunteer to read that aloud for us? Go for it.
Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and... yes.
Okay, so in this passage, we see Paul calling Timothy, the Bible teacher, to stay on the line of Scripture. We see it there in verse 15. He says that he wants him to be a worker who rightly handles the word of truth. In other words, he's not adding to what the truth is or taking away from what the truth is. He just wants him to speak the truth, rightly handle the word of truth. That's what a Bible teacher is called to. But there are some who have, what does it say in verse 18? Who have swerved from the truth. So they've gone off this line of Scripture. And what is it that they've done? What is it that they've either added to the truth or taken away from the truth? Who sees that anywhere? By the way, I should have mentioned this earlier. These sessions are extremely interactive, so I'm not going to give you answers. You're going to give me the answers. So what would you say? What in this text do we see other teachers either adding or taking away? How are they swerving from the truth?
They said the resurrection has already taken place.
So in some ways, that is adding to what the truth is. And by the way, that the resurrection has already taken place. They're not talking about Jesus' resurrection. Yes, that has already happened. That's why we're saved. Amen. But they're talking about the resurrection of believers who have already died, which we can tell from, for example, 1 Corinthians 6:14 says, God raised the Lord and will also raise us up through him. So it has not yet happened. Or if you know that passage in 1 Thessalonians 4, where they're, you know, debating about when the resurrection is going to happen, it says the Lord himself will in the future descend from heaven and the dead will rise
in Christ. Okay, so that's what they're not talking about, the resurrection of Jesus, but the resurrection that we know is to come. They're saying it's already happened. So they're adding to what God is saying. They're adding to the truth. They're not staying on the line. And then if we flip in 2 Timothy to chapter 4, so in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we get in verse 2, the very clear and simple, preach the word. How more plain can Paul get with Timothy? Preach the word, but not every teacher follows suit. We see in, let me just read starting in verse 3. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. So what's happening here? I'm not really sure what those myths are, but I might just suggest that they are dipping below the line of scripture, below the truth, because they're not teaching the truth, but teaching myths, teaching something else entirely. And what I wanted to see from these two verses here in chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, what's at stake? What's at stake when we veer from the line of scripture? What do you see? They stop listening to the truth. That's it. That's what's at stake. I mean, people will listen to us. We can say lots of great things that are not on the line, but they're adding to or taking away, and people will listen to us. They're not coming to a Simeon Trust workshop where they can give us feedback and say, I'm not sure if that was right on the line. They're just like, ooh, that sounded good to my ears. And we'll be training people to not want to listen to the truth anymore. We don't want to do that. As Bible teachers, we want the conviction that we want to stay on the line of scripture. We have tendencies to do this, not just this, what we see demonstrated in scripture today, and even other teachers we hear. I'm sure we can think of ones off the top of our head, like Joel Osteen type preachers, but we don't even have to think of those, because I think in this room, we have our own tendencies to add or take away. So let's just put some titles to these tendencies that we have to add to what scripture says or take away. Why don't I take some titles from you, or categories, or ways that we're tempted to add to what the Bible says or take away? What would you say?
People take scriptures out of context.
Okay, so bingo.
If you take it out of context, it can mean totally something different.
Totally. Okay, so that could be either going above or below, but I'll just write it up there. But taking something out of context, because you just want to teach what you want to teach. And so you find a verse and you're like, that's my verse, and I'm going to teach what I think from that verse. But you're not taking it in the context in which it was placed. That's a great thing to start us off with. Someone else.
Legalism.
Would that be adding or taking away?
Adding, because you're adding rules beyond what's already in scripture.
Yes. So who's great at adding rules? Like, just think of
Pharisees.
Yes, that's what we think of. But it's easy to blame, right? We don't like those Pharisees. They do that. I don't do that. But it's impressive how many times I've been caught by people giving me feedback that I didn't realize what I was laying on my people, the burden that I placed on them by making something a requirement that wasn't clearly that in Scripture. Okay, what else?
We can soften, try to take away.
We can soften. So can you give an example? Yeah, so we can know our culture today with men and women, and I think this depends on region and also on your church. I think every church is very different, even if you're in the same region. At least that's how it is in my area. You might have a church that has lots of women that are stay-at-home moms. Maybe they homeschool their kids, and then you have another church that all the moms are working, right? And they're balancing they're a lawyer, or they're a doctor, and then they got kids at home. And so how do you teach the passage in Titus 2? Yeah, so we could be tempted in either case to soften what's there. What else? Other tendencies?
Either not wanting to talk about sin or health.
Okay, so we avoid negativism. would that be fair? Yeah. I actually don't know if negativism is a word. I don't want to make it up. So avoid negative things. I'll say it like that. Yeah. We want a happy message. We don't want a unhappy message. Anything else? You get the idea? Ways that we're tempted? Okay. I want you to now, you're all sitting at tables, and I want you to talk with either one or two other people. So not your whole table, just like a partner or threes. And I want you to tell your partner ways that you yourself have been tempted or you think you could be tempted to go off the line. So maybe ways that you think you could add to what the scriptures say or take away. It might be something we've already listed up here, or it might be something else entirely, but I want us to feel the burn within us how we might do this ourselves. Is that clear what you should do? Okay, go ahead and talk to your partner just for a few minutes. Okay, let's come back together. Hopefully you each had a chance to share one thing, but even if only one of you had a chance, we're getting the juices flowing, right? We're thinking about it. Anybody brave enough to share what you said to your partner or to share what your partner said? I'm just kidding. Did that to you. Of course you're brave to do that. What would you say? What are some new things that came up in your conversation?
Well, sometimes I will lead with how I think the character said it, or how I think what the emotion, I guess, So I think that can sometimes be adding to if I presuppose somebody's character's thoughts.
Especially in narratives, right? It's easy to think, oh, I bet he felt that, or I bet she was thinking that. And it's not there, but we're going to add it in. Yeah, that's good. What else? It sounds like it. Yeah. What else? Yes. Yes. So we moralize passages. So in some ways it's kind of like legalism a little bit, but we're actually, I wonder, could that be even be taken away? Because in a sense it's saying what you should do without grounding it in the gospel itself. Well, either way, we're off the line when we're doing that, right? Where we're just telling you how to be a good boy or a good girl without actually grounding it in the truth of the gospel. That's great. What else? Oh, interesting. So somewhere we have fear of man, so we just want to please with our teaching. I feel that too. I'm with you, sister. What else? These are really good ones.
I take what preachers say, and I figure they know what they're talking about, but that's not always the case.
Yes. Oh, that's such a good one. Yes. Okay. So what she's saying is, this is really good. This could be on both sides, yeah. But other teachings on a passage.
Yeah.
So we have to teach, Philippians 1. And we heard a good sermon on that really moved us. And we didn't realize it, but at the time, the preacher's name was Joel Osteen. And so we decide that's what we're going to teach. I'm sorry, I keep calling him out. I don't mean to do that, because I don't think any of us are tempted to teach like that. But we just take what somebody else's work was and make it our own, and we didn't actually do the hard work ourselves. That's another good one. What else? I have one that I wonder if anybody's tempted to do. I tend to skip what I don't understand. Does anybody else do that? What you don't understand, did anybody get assigned Titus 3, 1 to 11 and have no idea what to do with verses 9 to 11? And you're like, what is this? I'll just skip that part. Maybe I don't even talk. I won't bring that in. Oh, it's so tempting to want to do that because you got a lot of other verses you can talk about, right? Why do I have to cover all of them? I'll just cover part of them that I get. It's okay. So we do this too. Right? It's not just those other people. It's not just those Pharisees. It's not just the people we read about. It's all of us. We all have this tendency to go off the line of Scripture. Okay, I want us to see another example of this in Scripture just to get our, you know, fingers into the Scriptures and our eyes on the page. Let's stay in the pastoral epistles, but go to 1 Timothy. Go to 1 Timothy 4. And I'm going to have you do this exercise with your partners. So go to 1 Timothy 4, and with your partner, I want you to read the first five verses, and I want you to answer these questions. So this is a demonstration in Scripture of teachers going off the line. So I want you to first ask, what is the line? Okay? And once you start reading it, it'll come clear. What is the line? And then, how do they go above or below the line? ? And then lastly, what is at stake? Okay, so read these five verses with your partner. As you're reading, start to ask these questions. What's the line? How do they go above or below it? And then what's at stake in the passage itself? So we're seeing an example of someone going off the line in 1 Timothy 4, right? Is that clear? Go ahead, take a few minutes to work on it. All right, do we get there? It's quieting down. Does that mean we finished? Yes? Really? Okay, good. All right, let's come back together then. All right, I hope you had time to answer all three of these questions. What's the line? How do they go above or below the line, and what's at stake? So what's the line? What did you find, and what verse did you find it in?
Verse 4, everything created by God.
Okay, verse 4, everything created by God is good. How do they go above or below the line? What do they say? And what verse do you find it in? Yes, what verse do you find that in? Verse 3. We have this idea of forbidding marriage. I mean, is anybody married here? Are we off the line by getting married? Oh, that's a little scary. Okay. And then abstinence from foods,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which we know Christ declared all foods clean, okay? Because we know the line. Well, everything created by God is good, right? That's our line. What's at stake?
Our souls.
Okay, what else? So where do you see that? What verse?
Verse 1.
What's at stake? Depart from the faith. Okay. Let's just think about that now for a second. As Bible teachers, as we're considering how we're prepping our work and how we're conveying it to others, and we're tempted, as you all just told me, we're tempted to want to add to what the Scriptures say or to take away. And we want to please people, perhaps like our one sister said, or we're confused on something, so we're just going to skip that part. What's at stake if we do that? Not only our souls, but everybody else's. That's a good way to put it. Yes, the departure from the faith. And maybe, you know, I'm not talking about, I did a worksheet and I didn't do the best job on my gospel connection, so everyone's going to depart from the faith. No, I'm not saying that, right? We're here to make progress. But that's the whole point, right? That the more we make progress, the more we'll be able to stay on that line of Scripture. So at this point, let me just talk about, and then I'm going to take some questions if you have any questions. Let me just talk about some strategies. If this is true, that we can be tempted to go above or below the line, either add to scripture or take away. Here are some strategies to keep us on the line. Okay, strategies. One, be aware. Be aware of our tendencies. Just be aware. Recognize, oh, what do I want to skip in this passage? Or what am I emphasizing and adding that isn't really there? Be aware, which you've already done that tonight. Praise God. Another one, pray. Ask God, help me. I need your help. I cannot do this by myself. I'm going to mess this up. I'm falling. God, you're not. Help me. Pray about it. Also, use the principles that we are about to learn in this workshop. Or if you've done the online course, you're already well on your way to making progress. These principles that we're going to learn together are meant to help us stay on the line. How do I know what the main point of a passage is? Well, I'm going to work through the structure to see the emphasis, and I'm going to see that in context, and I'm going to see how the gospel shines in this passage, right? It helps us to stay on the line of scripture, to use all of those principles. And then I think also test what we've come up with, test with other scripture, right? So we can, well, I actually did that with the resurrection example earlier, that they said that the resurrection already happened. Well, I went to two passages and there's more that talk about the resurrection has not happened. I've tested it against other parts of scripture to help me. And then lastly, have friends that will help you, that will help you make progress, which I don't know about your tables, but we're all best friends already at my table here, right? So have friends around you that can help you, that can point out some things. Let me take some questions at this point. What sort of questions do you have just thinking about staying on the line or the strategies? And there may not be any, which is fine. We'll have time for more examples. Yeah.
If you're doing things that are
Oh, that's such a great question. So if you're in the type of Bible study where it's super interactive, kind of like here, I don't know what you're going to say, right? What if you say something that is slightly off the line? Okay, I would say two things. One, anticipate what they could say. Like, know your people. Unfortunately, I don't really know you because I'm not even from here, but hopefully in your church, you know the people. So anticipate, oh, how could they interpret this idea that I'm trying to get across. So my boss says, always think of he calls them the red herrings that are out there. Like, just anticipate what people might say. And then two, always point them back to scripture. So what verse did you find that in? I find that helps immensely because frequently they're just like, oh, well, I think it's this. And I'm like, your eyes need to be not at the ceiling, but on the page. And if it's in there, then it helps. And then, you know, if you can introduce some of these principles to them, that could also help. That's a great question. Other questions?
What about like secondary or tertiary issues, you know, that people might have different views?
Like,
somebody would say, oh, well, you're adding to that or you're taking away from that.
Yes. So what do we do with secondary or tertiary issues that we would disagree on? So baptism, for one, right? That would be, so baptism is not a gospel issue. You can believe in believer's baptism or infant baptism and still be a Christian. Did you know that? I don't know if that's a hot topic around here, but yeah. And there's many issues like this where you could be a Christian either way. I think it depends on your audience. So at my church, we are a believer's Baptist church where to be a member of our church, you have to have actually been baptized as a believer. So I can teach in my church about that secondary issue that this is what we believe. But if you were I think most of us are teaching in our local churches. So you'd have to think, what does my local church? But here's a good example. Okay, so we studied Daniel last spring in our Bible study, and there's a lot of information about like the end times and speculation about what will happen then. I know Nancy Gruendyke studied Daniel too. So when it came to the time to talk about some of those really difficult passages, especially at the end of Daniel 9, No, seven. What chapter is this prayer? Nine.
Nine.
Yes, at the end of chapter nine, there's like timelines and stuff, and we're trying to figure it out. And one gal emailed me and said, can you just tell me what to believe? Like, just lay it out for me. You know, what is the timeline? Like, what do we believe? And I pointed her back to our doctrinal statement at our church, which doesn't take a stance. So I told her, our church doesn't take a stance on this specifically. So we have freedom to, you know, interpret this in ways that may differ from one another. And we've agreed on that as church members because we've agreed on our doctrinal statement. I don't know how it works in your church, though. You may operate under a different way. But that would be an example of it's okay to disagree. Other questions? Okay, I want to do a fun example. I want us to ourselves go off the line of Scripture. And this should be super easy to do, right? Because it's doing it the wrong way. It's not spending hours and hours on a worksheet. It's just like looking at a text and getting it wrong. Okay, turn to Colossians. Let's go to Colossians. Look at Colossians 3:12-17. Actually, I'll have someone read it aloud for us, so that we can all be on the same page. And then I want you to work with a partner and figure out different ways that you could add to or take away from what is there. And just have fun with this, okay? We're just making these quick observations that it's not actually right, but we're just seeing how this can happen. Who can read chapter 3, verses 12 to 17 of Colossians? Gracie.
Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Okay, thank you. So we are going to completely ignore all of these strategies and just work on ways that we go off the line. So interpret this passage and have some fun with it with your partner. Just take a few minutes. Okay, that couldn't have taken long. So what are some ideas that you had? And we're going to have different ones from different tables. What'd you come up with? I hope this was fun. Nancy. You want to have a love fest. Okay. So what is that, going above or below?
Well, I don't know. It's all about love.
It's all about love.
It doesn't matter.
Harmony, peace, love. I'm going to say that's going below because that's all you're going to talk about. You're not going to talk about anything else. Okay. Another one. You can do whatever you want. Just do it in the name of the Lord. Yes. As long as I'm doing it in his name, I'm okay. Making my own rules. What else?
I'm not a chosen one because I'm not patient.
Okay, so where are you getting that from?
So you're
saying I'm not a chosen one because I'm not these things. I was impatient today, so I must not be a chosen one. Would that be adding to or taking away? Be taking away? We have a lot of taking away. Would you think it's adding? Because it's the burden, the legalism of it, that we have no grace? Okay. So the burden of legalism. So making these statements that if I don't meet it exactly and perfectly, then well, why am I even here? Another one?
I was familiar with a group that they would admonish one another, and they
Okay, so that would be adding, I would say, right? Like, I know what God has really said about your future, and it's not written in Scripture. It's just in my head. Yeah. Okay, one more? So this idea of being a good person equals being part of God's family, right? Which there's really so much more to that because we haven't even looked at the context of this, right? Yeah. Which if we were to consider the strategy of using the principles, we would have come clear on that, right? That no, it's not just people that do good things that are God's family. Okay, what's at stake? If we were to teach this way, if we were to teach these things, what's at stake? I mean, we can't see it in the text. This is, you know, because we did it ourselves. What's at stake? God's character is at stake, okay? Like representing rightly who he is. People's souls. Because we're either burdening them with needing to act a certain way or we're letting them off the hook by just be a good person. What else?
The gospel.
The gospel is at stake. The true gospel. Actually, the vision of the Charles Simeon Trust is to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world by training the next generation of biblical expositors. So the gospel is the core thing that we don't want to lose, and we so easily did it in just a few minutes. This is why you shouldn't be discouraged when you're working on your worksheet and it's taking you an hour and then another hour and then you go back to it again for another 30 minutes and then you're looking at commentaries and it takes a long time. Maybe I should say that as another strategy. Take time. Just take time. Put the time in because we've seen how easy it is right now to just do it fast and have something to say. We want to stay on the line of Scripture, never straying above it or below it. Turn back to Timothy. Turn to 1 Timothy 6. And I want to sort of leave us with this idea, and then I'm going to talk some more about how the worksheet's going to help us this weekend to stay on the line. So in 1 Timothy 6, starting in verse 3, it talks about Bible teachers. It says, verse 3, if anyone teaches a different doctrine than the gospel, a different doctrine, and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up, she is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. If we take this on ourselves to determine what the doctrine should be and not what the very words of our Lord Jesus Christ has said, then we are just simply proud people. We are puffed up with conceit and we actually understand nothing, yet we think we understand everything. Questions, observations, impressions. How does this sit with you as we're going into this workshop? Are we feeling the weight of it, or like, what's the sense? What's your impression? It's good that it's a weighty responsibility. I'm glad you think it's good. That's good that it's good. Yeah, in the back. Yes. You're encouraged. You're not alone, and there are things we can do to help us stay on the line. Yes.
I think more recently I've been learning how much I really don't know, and then that makes me feel a little scared in the sense of not wanting to teach wrongly.
Yes. So she's saying that she's realizing more and more that she doesn't know things, and I think the more we know, the more we don't know, right? But when we're new, we think, oh, we know stuff. And then the more you learn, you're like, yeah, I really don't know anything here. And it's scary, right? It scares us, which makes me go back to, you know, really praying and asking God to help, coming to a workshop. Because as Pastor Jim was saying, like the Peloton, you know, you have others coming alongside you to help you. Yeah, I feel the same thing. Well, I'm glad we feel the weight of it, yet we're encouraged. We're not depressed, or we haven't lost confidence. But I think over these next few days, in our small groups especially, we're going to feel that confidence. So to that end, let me take us through just the idea of our worksheet. And we'll just spend a few minutes on this, and then we'll take a break. I want us to have an idea of the pathway for preparation, which you actually have this in your notebooks. It's another one of those pages in your notebooks. The pathway for preparation. This is how we stay on the line of Scripture. If we are going to teach a text of the Bible, we have a text, and we're very tempted to quickly take a hop, skip, and a jump to us now. To today, like what we just did in Colossians, right? We have Colossians 3, and we need to teach it, and we got to have something to say, and people like to hear about love, and I, you know, there's all sorts of different temptations that we have. We want to make a hop, skip, and a jump, but we can't do that as Bible teachers. We recognize we need to stay on the line of Scripture. How do we stay on the line of Scripture? Well, the first step, the first leg on the pathway is to go to them. Then go to the original audience. Okay, let's go back to the context. Let's see, how did the original audience read this? What were their circumstances? Why the author wrote it? We need to consider those things first. And this would be questions 1, 2, and 3 on the worksheet. They're taking us on that pathway to the original audience. You know, question number 3 lands on what's the argument of the original author to his original audience. And then from there, we are allowed to take the next step, the next path on our pathway, which is going to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. How does our text connect to the gospel? We tend to call this theological reflection. We want to reflect on the passage in a theological way. This is question number 4 on the worksheet, isn't it? We had you connect to the gospel. Now, finally, at that point, we are able to consider how to take this home. How are we going to then, all the work that we've done, how do we communicate this to our audience? That's questions 5, 6, 7. There's a lot to consider there. I hope you see on this pathway, even though it could be really easy, fast, and short to go right from our text to us now, the longest way around is the safest way home. It takes time. We already said that, right? It takes time. We need to go first to the original audience, consider the gospel, and then we can come home. And we're doing that through all of our instructions that we have in this workshop.